One of my friends on Facebook who lives outside Chicago was thrilled a few days ago when a yellow-bellied sapsucker spent the whole day in a conifer right outside her window. Jody Krieger Nettlehorst reacted pretty much the way I do when I get a sapsucker in my yard. She said, "I feel so lucky. It sat on the tree for hours, and I sat for hours watching it. I thought for sure it would fly off before I got my camera out and ready, so I waited for a long time. Then when the neighbors came and went and it still didn't fly off, I decided to quit watching to go get my camera. It was still there after my boys came home from school." Jody wondered what brought to her yard a bird that neither winters nor breeds near her. Birds don't have access to Star Trek's transporters. They can't just get beamed up from their winter to their summer range, and April is the month when they pass through the vast in-between area. When their body is in shape and weather conditions are right, they migrate by night, depleting their fat stores to fuel their long journey. Wherever they find themselves in the morning, they settle in to rest and feed. When their fat stores are replenished, they head out once again. But very few woodpeckers undergo what we traditionally think of as standard bird migration, with annual movements between a northern breeding range and a non-overlapping southern winter range. Why so few? It takes time and work to dig out wood-boring beetle larvae and other prey insects deep in trees. By staying within the same large area year-round, each woodpecker can keep track of the health of and insect populations within lots of individual trees. Most woodpeckers roost in cavities that take many hours to excavate and must be defended against invaders like flying squirrels and starlings. Investing all that time and energy in hard-won resources makes this group as a whole non-migratory. Our good old yellow-bellied sapsuckers return north as sap starts running in the trees. They dig tiny little ports around the trunk or a large limb, often in a perfect circle, and stick around much of the time, lapping up the sap that oozes out with their specialized brushy-tipped tongue. The sapsucker makes two kinds of holes for harvesting sap. Round holes extend deep into the tree and are not enlarged. Rectangular holes are shallower, and they must be maintained continually for the sap to keep flowing. The sapsucker licks the sap from these holes and also eats the cambium of the tree and insects drawn to the sap. The work involved in creating and defending these holes gives each sapsucker a vested interest in sticking around and drinking the sap from its holes as long as it remains in the area before continuing its migration. Meanwhile, the quieter each sapsucker is, the less likely other birds will notice those drill holes and chase it off. Although usually quiet on migration, lucky people may hear a sapsucker occasionally making its whiny, mewing call, which is pretty easy to recognize. On their nesting grounds, their territorial drumming sounds are exceptionally easy to recognize. They do not have a steady rat-a-tat drum roll like other woodpeckers, but a much more arrhythmic one. Any day now, I'm going to find my first sapsucker feeding quietly in my backyard aspen tree, where I've seen my first every year since 1981. During cold snaps, I might spot a ruby-crowned kinglet or a yellow-rumped warbler at those holes, too. Crows carrying sticks, robins, grackles, and killdeer are my first reliable signs that spring is really coming. But my first backyard yellow-bellied sapsucker is my official sign that spring has actually arrived and all is right in my world. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.